Welcome to Identity Crisis tonight. Before we get into the message, I would hope if everyone could just join in prayer with me for something. You know, this last weekend, many of you are probably aware, some of you probably don't follow the news as much, but there was this huge massacre that took place in Orlando, Florida, and it was a really sad, tragic thing that happened. And so we want to just take a moment here at Paramount and just pray for all the victims and all the families of those victims in that area. And man, we just believe that even in the darkest moments, that God is still there with people. And so guys, would you just join me as we pray? God, we thank you that even in the darkest moments that you are a good God. And so we pray right now for every family of every person lost or injured or hurt in these Orlando shootings. Lord, we just pray that God, your grace would flood them, that throughout this situation, you would draw them closer to you, that God, you would use this dark moment to bring them to your kingdom, to bring them to a place where they know that they are loved by you, that they are loved by your kingdom, that by your grace and your love. Lord, we just thank you for all this in the powerful name of Jesus. If you agree with that, can you give me an amen? Amen. All right, guys. Hey, thanks for doing that with me. It means a lot. Tonight, we are continuing our series called Identity Crisis. And the reason we're talking about this series at all is because in 2015, the top thing that was searched about on all of the Google Maps, not Google Maps, but Google, was the idea of identity. People wanted to know, who am I? You know, the reality is most of us, we think that we have our identity all set, but man, there's a lot of questions that come with that. And so tonight, we're going to be looking at the idea of identity. About 6 months ago, my roommate that I had been living with moved to California. And so he moved there to kind of go pursue some of his dreams and some of the things that were on his life. So that was awesome, you know, for him. But when that happened, Corey came in and actually moved into the apartment that I'm living with. And so, man, I don't know if you understand this, but like, you can have a friend in someone, but you don't know what they're like as a roommate until you live with them, right? Like, you may think you know them, but the truth is, he's found out some weird habits that I have, and I've probably found out a few weird habits he has. And so you're kind of hoping it's a good thing, but you never are completely sure. And so just to help you rest assured, Corey has been a great roommate. In fact, one of the things I love most about rooming with Corey is, number one, FIFA. We get to play FIFA all the time. We're all over those sticks. And the second thing is that Corey is actually a really good cook. Corey actually knows how to make stuff, and him and his girlfriend, Deanna, they're like these amazing cooks. And can I just tell you that for the last year before I lived with him, my diet every night consisted of eggs in some way, shape, or form. I would make eggs, I would make omelets, I would make egg omelets that were different. Like, all I knew how to do were eggs because I'm a terrible cook. I don't know if you're like me, but the best friend I have is a microwave. That is my, like, greatest ally. And so when Corey moved in, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy actually makes food. And so, you know, about once a week, his girlfriend, Deanna, will come over, and my girlfriend, Kristen, they'll come over, and we'll kind of do a cookout, and we'll hang out and grab some food. And, you know, so maybe we'll do the sides or something. And about a month and a half ago, Deanna was over, Kristen was over, and we were just eating. And we had made this really good food. So, you know, when your diet consists mostly of eggs, you always get the second portion whenever there's non-eggs there, right? Like, if there's something good, you're going to make sure you get your second and maybe your third plate. And so, you know, I was looking at it, I was like thinking, oh man, that looks really good. I'm going to get my second helping here. And so I leaned over to my girlfriend and I was going to say, hey, Kristen, can you pass the side over? But instead what came out of my mouth was, hey, Mom, can you pass that side over there? And let me just tell you that this is a terrible thing for everyone. Nobody wins when you call your girlfriend Mom. No one. First of all, she did not want to be called Mom for obvious reasons. And I didn't want to date my mom for obvious reasons, right? Like, this is this huge confusion that takes place at the dinner table. And I hope and pray it never happens again. But you know, tonight we're going to be talking about identity. And what I found is that sometimes this idea of identity can be really confusing. It can be something where it's really easy to get mixed up. It's really easy to try and figure it out. And honestly, it would seem like identity is this really easy thing to figure out, right? When you're born, you get a birth certificate. And on your birth certificate, it has your name, and then you get a social security number. And then in middle school and in elementary school, the teacher calls you by your name. And then when you're a little bit older, you get your driver's license, and it has your name and your picture on it. And if you're adventurous, you travel the world, and you get a passport, and that has your name on it. And seemingly this idea of identity would be really easy. But actually what happens is that this whole concept can be incredibly confusing. It can be something that we really question, hey, I don't know who I am. And here's the thing is you are right now, currently where you sit, you are in possibly the most formative times of your entire life. Who you are right now is going to determine a lot about who you're going to be someday. You're trying to figure out, who am I? And I think it is a worthwhile pursuit. I think it is worth every minute you spend trying to discover who you are and what your identity is. But the problem is it gets really confusing. Because think about it. We are all comprised of a lot of different identities, right? Like, I am not just Ryan the son. I am Ryan the brother and Ryan the cousin and Ryan the boyfriend and Ryan the former athlete who's a little bit out of shape now and Ryan the musician and Ryan the music lover and Ryan all these things, right? We all have separate identities that kind of make up who we are. And sometimes people try and put us into these boxes and they try and tell us who we should be. And it gets really confusing because we say, hey, I have all these different things going on, but who am I really? Who is me? And here's the problem. There's a lot of different answers to that. If you were to look at what our modern culture would tell you, modern culture would say this, hey, just follow your heart. You know what? At the end of the day, just be yourself. You just do you. Let no one else tell you what you can be. Just do what makes you happy. Can we just all agree on the surface that actually sounds pretty good, right? Like, hey, that sounds like good advice. Just do whatever makes me happy. Just kind of live the life I want to live. But see, the problem is that people are living this out. They're actually going out and they're doing whatever makes them happy. They're living these lives that are supposed to help them become more of themselves. And what we're finding is that people are more hurting. They're more confused. They're more broken up than they've ever been. The world's advice just doesn't seem to be working. And here's why I believe one of the key things that is problematic about that way of thinking is that sometimes what we can do is not what we should do. Sometimes what we can do is not what we should do. In fact, sometimes what we could be is not who we should be. You know, when I was in second grade, I remember a time I was actually driving to school. My mom was driving to school. That would have been really awkward if I was driving to school. Like, hey, Ma, get in! My mom was driving me to school. And we were almost there to school. We were kind of cutting it close as far as time goes, but we were making our way over there. And right before we got to the school, my mom was like, hey Ryan, did you brush your teeth? And I was like, oh. And as I just did that, like morning breath just came out from every pore of my body. And she's like, because I asked you if you brushed your teeth, and you said yes, but I'm going to be just completely honest with you. It is very obvious you did not brush your teeth. And I was like, oh. And so I'll never forget, my mom whipped that Aerostar minivan around so quick, man. We were doing 360, 180, all kind of, man, Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift had nothing on us, man. We booked it back home. We turned around. She made me get out of the car, go brush my teeth for 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it was. And then I come back to school. I come in late. I come up to my teacher. She's like, Ryan, why were you late? I was like, I didn't brush my teeth. And see, back in the day when I was in second grade, I was like, why do I have to brush my teeth, right? Like, all I can think about is how much of a hassle it is to brush my teeth. I don't want to brush my teeth. I don't have a Batman or Superman, toothbrush. I can't be brushing my teeth all the time. I don't got time for this. I'm a busy young fellow. And the thing is, my mom, she knew that if I didn't brush my teeth, that later on she would have some very uncomfortable moments watching me get cavities filled and at the dentist hearing these drills being put up, and man, my teeth would be rotted out, right? See, my mom knew that there were some things I could do. I could choose not to brush my teeth, but she knew that there were some things I should do. And that for me, it's like, yeah, I could have not brushed my teeth, but it really wasn't the right choice. And here's the deal. When it comes to our identity, when it comes to choosing who we are, sometimes we think that we are the final say, that we can dictate who we are supposed to be. But I would actually suggest to you tonight that that is not actually the highest calling for your life. And the reason why is because you did not create you. Therefore, you do not get to tell you who you were created to be. fact, I believe that God has created each and every person here with such an amazing purpose and such an amazing identity. And because he created you, only he can truly tell you who you were created to be. Only he can tell you. In fact, I believe that God created you to be this person who belonged to his family. I actually believe that. I believe God created you to be in a relationship with him. But here's the problem. You know it and I know it, that we all make mistakes, right? Raise your hand if you're perfect. Oh, a couple liars over here. That's your sin right there. You know you're a liar. Okay. See, all of us have made mistakes. All of us have done things that have put us in a very bad position. And here's the thing. That sin, that separation, it takes us away from God's original identity, original plan for our life. When we choose to do things our own way, we rebel against God's original plan. But here's what's so amazing. This is where Christianity is different than every other religion. Because every other religion will tell you, okay, if you want to close that separation between you and God, then you need to be really good. You need to make sure you tip the scales in the good direction. You need to make sure that everything you do gets you closer to God. But Christianity is different. Christianity will tell you, no. There's nothing you can do to earn your way back to God. In fact, you need God to come to you. And this is where we hear about this person named Jesus. And Jesus came into the scene, and Jesus totally gave us an option for a greater identity. In fact, one of Jesus' top followers named Peter, he wrote this entire letter to a couple of churches. And in this, he talks about what Jesus can do when we are willing to give him our life, when we are willing to put our faith in him. And so we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 2, and here's what it says. Starting at verse 9, it says, but you are not like that, or people who have rebelled against God, who have said, I want to do things my own way. You are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. I want you to hear this. Please hear this. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you receive mercy. See, this is what it is saying. Is that no matter who you are, no matter where you were born, no matter how things have worked out in your life, that God has given you an option to become a part of his family, to become accepted. And at the end of the day, I can tell you this, that many of the things that we try and fill our lives with and many of the things that we try and do, we do it so that we can belong to something. We do it so that we can be accepted. And can I just tell you that if you want to find acceptance, you're not going to find it at the end of a bottle, I promise. You're not going to find it through that guy or that girl. You're not going to find it through different situations that you put yourself in. The only way you will find that acceptance, the only way you will become a part of that holy people, that the people who are chosen by God, is to link yourself up to the God who created you. But here's the problem, right? Because for most of us, that kind of sounds good. Like, Jesus actually came. What we're saying is Jesus came to forgive all of our sins. He came to be our Savior, right? Like, that's awesome. We get to go be in heaven and not have sin and be like, awesome. Like, this is great. This is Jesus as our Savior. But here's the thing. Jesus also said, if you want to make me Savior, that's great, but you also have to make me Lord. And this is where a lot of Americans and a lot of Western culture gets tripped up, because we say, whoa, Jesus, I like the version of you that can forgive all of my sins and make me go to heaven. That's great. Please just do that. But Jesus is saying, no. If you want that, if you want that eternal life, that you have to give me control. You have to let me call the shots in life. You have to let me dictate who you're going to be. But he gives us this promise that if we do this, if we allow Jesus to call the shots in our lives, that we will actually have that acceptance, that belonging, that peace that we desire, that we're searching for. And I wish I could tell you that the moment you raise your hand to receive Christ, as so many of you have done here, that that would just be the end of the struggle. But I could probably talk to any one of you who has done that. I could hear your story, and I could tell you, just as my story is, that the moment you accept Christ into your life is not the moment that you stop struggling. It's not the moment where you face fear and confusion. In fact, look what Peter says. He goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 23. He says, wrong verse. Oops.
Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. This is what Peter is saying. Look, even when you become born again, even when you're somebody who God changes your identity from someone who was not accepted, who couldn't be because of sin, and he makes you a new person, you are still going to have to fight all the identities this world will try and put on you. And I can tell you personally in my life that this is something that I have had to discover. Because when I first gave my heart to Jesus, when I first decided to live all out for Jesus, I quickly discovered that I was still trying to do everything my own way. And in that way, I was lost in fear of what people would think about me. I was trapped by that. Man, I was trapped by lust and sexual immorality. These are things that each and every day I would struggle with, and I would lose those battles more times than I would win them. And all of a sudden I thought, God, I thought you made me this new person. I thought you made me this better person. And I realized that there was still a war that was being waged for my soul. And you may sit here and you may have been born again. You may have raised your hand and received Christ. And that's awesome. You may have gotten baptized. And that's phenomenal. But let me tell you this, that there is still a war being waged for your soul. And it comes through the form of worldly desires. And here's what I stress to you and what I would hope you can understand is that who you become determines how you behave. Who you become, it determines how you behave. When we get this new identity in Christ, it should not only change our hearts, but it should change the things that overflow from them, the actions of our lives. See, because we're comprised of all these different identities and all these different things that we struggle with and all these different identities, but God is saying, I want you to submit all of your identities to the one identity. I want you to submit all of the things in your life to the one thing, and that is Christ. That is a life that has been redeemed by Christ. And guys, let me just say that this is a very uncomfortable truth. Because this means that those of you who have built your life kind of on lying and cheating and stealing just to make it easier for you, that God is saying, no. Your new identity is none of those things. Your new identity is someone who walks in integrity. For those of you who have always feared what people thought of you and you've always done whatever it took to fit in and it didn't matter what everyone else would say, you just never had confidence in yourself, God is saying, no. You are my chosen people. I'm calling you to be courageous. And for those of you who are struggling to identify, who am I? And let's just get real here for a sec with sexuality. I kid you not, guys, there are so many moments in my life that I look back and I think I did not submit my identity to Christ in my sexuality. And there are some of us here, man, we are questioning, man, what is my purpose? How am I supposed to live this out? Because I look at the Bible and the Bible says that sex is for between man and woman in marriage. And I don't line up with that. Where do I fit in with that? And can I just say this to you? That there is such amazing love from God for you. That God has such an incredible compassion for you, but that God is saying, hey, look, I love you so much exactly how you are. I accept you. But God is calling us to submit our lives to Christ. And when it comes to our sexuality, God is calling us to submit ourselves to Christ. And guys, that's not always an easy road to travel. In fact, that is the exact opposite road of what the world will tell you is good. They'll tell you, oh man, yeah, just do whatever you want. But can I just tell you that when the world is pushing us that way, man, the world is pushing us further and further away from the peace that God wants to give you. That those of us who, no matter what our struggle is, we have these questions and we have this lack and this unrest and this anxiety. God wants to give us so much more. God wants to give us so much more. And so here's what I say. Guys, you can't do this on your own. You can't allow God to create your identity, your new identity on your own. It can't happen. It's impossible. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. If you want your life to start to resemble what it was created to resemble, if you want your identity to resemble what God has called it to resemble, then you have to submit your heart to the word of God. You have to submit your life to something that is eternal, to something that will never fade away. And the Bible says that God's word will always remain. Guys, this is why it is so crucial. This is why we say, hey, look, no matter what you're going through, you're welcome here at Paramount. But we are always going to encourage you to get into your Bible and to discover, what does God have to say about the struggles I'm facing? Because I don't care who you are, there's nobody here that is not struggling. There's nobody here that's not facing something, and I'm included in that. But you know what? The Word of God has something to say about it. And that's where the Word of God sharpens us, and it challenges us, and it shapes us and molds us, even when it's uncomfortable. But it's the power of God to resurrect our life, to make us born again into a new kingdom, to a chosen people, to people who are called by God. This is why it is so important that you are here on weekends, and why you're here on Wednesday nights, where you're in a community of people where you can hear the Word of God. And you know what? You might even disagree with some of the things I say. And guess what? You get to start a conversation. You get to ask a question. You get to bounce the Word of God off of one another and say, okay, man, what are you seeing here? What are you seeing here? When I read the Bible, this is what it says to me. Am I wrong? Am I right? This is the power of God in our lives. That nobody is a finished product, but that God allows us to keep taking a step. Keep taking a step. And I promise that as we get further and further and further into who God has made us to be, that peace that has been lacking in our lives, that it can be restored. It can be restored. Guys, I want to pray for you. If everyone could bow your heads and close your eyes. Here's what I recognize. I recognize that this is actually a really uncomfortable message for most of us. It probably is an uncomfortable message for all of us. Because if we're honest with ourselves, there's so many things that are competing for our identity, and the studies are showing that most of us don't really know who we are. We don't really know. We're trying to figure it out. And here's what I truly believe, that God wants to give you an action step tonight. God wants to take you one step closer to who you were called to be. And so I want to pray for you. And guys, I hope that you can hear in my heart the grace and love of Jesus Christ, because let me tell you this, that God is so passionately in love with you that's why he's willing to ask you to change, so that you don't stay enslaved to those things that have enslaved you before, so that you don't stay bound by those things that have bound you before. God, I just pray for every person here in the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that you would do something in them that shows them the power of your word. God, that they would be not only born again, but that, God, you would help them to win those wars that are being waged against their soul. Lord, help them to have the right questions. Help them to have the right conversations. Help them to, God, find their identity in you and in you alone. Thank you for all that in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just one more moment. And here's why I want to do this. This whole night we've been talking about this idea that you can be born again, that you can actually be born into this new identity, but it doesn't just happen through osmosis. It doesn't just happen because on accident. The Bible actually made it very clear that Jesus came, he died for every one of our sins, and he rose from the dead so that we could have all of our sins forgiven and so that we could spend forever in relationship with him in our true identity. And maybe if you're honest with yourself, you could say, hey, I have never made a decision, a commitment to not only make Jesus the Savior of my life, but the Lord of my life. And if you have never done that, then tonight I want to give you an opportunity, because you get to be in God's family, which is something that is so incredible that we could have never earned it. And so we're going to all pray a prayer, and so many people here have prayed this prayer before, but maybe, just maybe, there's someone who's never prayed this prayer, never made this decision. If that's you, everyone's going to pray this out loud with you, but we just want to encourage you, say this from your mouth, but mean it from your heart, and we believe that God, in this moment, can make you a new person. Paramount, would you repeat after me? Say this, say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need you. I pray tonight that you would take my sin, my shame, my confusion, and that you would give me hope and peace and love. Tonight, I make a decision to follow you and make you Lord of my life. With nobody looking around, here's what's so cool. The Bible says that if you prayed that prayer for the first time, that you are actually born into God's family. And here's what I know. That anytime a new child is born into a family, the whole family celebrates. The whole family does. Why? Because it's exciting. And we actually know, Jesus actually told us that in heaven, when one person prays and becomes a part of God's family, that all of heaven is actually celebrating. All of heaven is going into a party because of one person. And so we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to have you come to the front or stand up or anything like that. But we do want to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, if that was you, with no one looking around, could you just slip up your hand for us for just a moment? You prayed that prayer. You said, that was me. We're just going to give you an opportunity. Say, hey, I came into that decision. I made that decision. Could you just raise your hand? We see that hand. Congratulations. Just keep it up for just a second. We're getting a Bible to you. Just anyone else, you say, that's me. That's me. Congratulations. Congratulations, you guys. That's awesome. Just one more moment. I'm just going to look around from side to side, make sure. Awesome. Cool, guys. Can you look up at me? Hey, if you have a Bible in your hand, I want you to know that Jesus said the very next step to really making this real is to get baptized. And so each and every month here at Believer's Church, we actually do water baptisms. And man, why not go public with this? Why not celebrate what God has done in your life? He's made you a new person. So if that's you, a leader is going to come up to you and have a conversation with you and just want to get to know your story a little bit. And so we are so excited for the step you just took. Guys, can we do something that they're doing in heaven? Can we do it big and loud, just as they're doing in heaven? Can we celebrate with these people?